This is KVNF's regional newscast for Wednesday, August 18th. I'm Gavin Dahl. At a public hearing last night, the Mesa County Commissioners named former Colorado Secretary of State Wayne Williams their new top election official. The Grand Junction Sentinel reports commissioners assert they, not Secretary of State Jenna Griswold, have the authority to name a new designated official. Griswold disputes that, announcing yesterday that former County Clerk Sheila Reiner would be appointed to temporarily oversee elections while investigations continue into embattled County Clerk Tina Peters. While KVNF News recommends a Grand Junction Sentinel subscription, you can also follow reporter Charles Ashby on Twitter at Old Newsman. A shortage of licensed child care facilities in Colorado intensified as the pandemic decimated underfunded providers and forced many parents to leave the workforce to watch their kids. Without child care for working parents, the Colorado Sun reports critical jobs went unfilled, hindering economic growth after a year and a half of coronavirus restrictions. Child care facilities say they face rigorous regulatory requirements and struggle to hire workers. Raising teacher pay to attract qualified applicants would mean raising rates. In Telluride, unaffordable housing makes it difficult to bring potential applicants in from other areas. Centers that do find a qualified applicant say it can take months to hire them because a state background check system has been backlogged, according to the Telluride Daily Planet. Parents in San Miguel County are paying around 30% of their income on childcare. Help is on the way as Colorado prepares to provide every four-year-old at least 10 hours a week of pre-kindergarten by 2023. Close to $600 million in federal funding is pouring in to help stabilize child care providers and expand access for parents, according to Mary Alice Cohen, director of the State Office of Early Childhood. The funding will be distributed starting this fall. Nearly $100 million in federal and state funding is already out to groups. Part of the money goes to help providers recruit and retain workers, as well as rebounding from a big drop in attendance during the pandemic. Governor Jared Polis is urging the State Board of Health to require a COVID-19 vaccine for personnel staffing facilities that care for vulnerable populations and places where people receive essential medical care. "We continue to face a pandemic of the unvaccinated, and an estimated 30 to 40% of staff who work in assisted living facilities or with other vulnerable populations remain unvaccinated. Polis wants a statewide mandate so those workers don't simply shift to a new job where a jab is not required." For the first time in history, the Bureau of Reclamation declared a water shortage for the lower Colorado River Basin. As KUNC's Alex Hager explains, climate change is making it hard to predict when that might end.
The shortage was triggered by dropping water levels in Lake Mead, which supplies water to millions in the Southwest. Escaping that shortage will rely partially on a turnaround of drought conditions that have lingered for over two decades. In the past, water managers counted on wet years to balance out the dry times, but that might not be the case anymore. Jennifer Pitt studies the river for the Audubon Society, a nonprofit environmental group.
Water managers like to say, hope for the best, but make sure you're prepared for the worst. And we can't even tell you with certainty what the worst could be.
The first round of mandatory water cutbacks will start in Arizona and Nevada this January. If conditions don't turn around, we could see similar and harsher cuts in 2023. I'm Alex Hager.
Coronavirus infections are on the upswing once more. The so-called fourth wave was predicted by epidemiologists earlier this summer, as the Delta variant spread and protocols eased. To learn more, Kate Redmond spoke with a pulmonologist at the Delta Health Hospital.
COVID-19 is not going away like we hoped. In fact, cases are growing statewide and knocking on doors in Delta County. I had a chance to speak with Dr. Sarah Knutson, who is a pulmonologist at the hospital in Delta and who has been working with patients since the beginning of the pandemic. For many of the processes in the hospital, nothing has changed.
What will help us in this effort is that we are very familiar with all of these practices. So we can implement all of these policies, again, efficiently, and we have good supplies. I think what may hurt us in Delta County, and I know people have talked about this before, but it is our low vaccination rate coupled with the emergence of the Delta variant, the predominant variant, much more transmissibility and perhaps greater lethality. But with respect to issues like infection control practices, you know, to include testing and tracing, that's very familiar terrain to all of us at the hospital.
I asked Dr. Knutson to expand on what she knows about the Delta variant.
The Delta variant has very high levels of virus burden, and is more transmissible. I've seen reported in the literature having it be perhaps as contagious as chickenpox, if people could think of it that way. The Delta variant may lead at times to more severe disease, and there is even some speculation that there is more of an impact of the Delta variant within the pediatric population. The vaccine still worked to prevent hospitalization and death, but we know now that the vaccinated individuals can in fact carry infection, even when asymptomatic or very mildly ill. And these types of findings have been used to inform more recent masking guidelines from the CDC.
One segment of the population that has benefited less from the vaccination is people who live with immunosuppressed conditions. A new development Dr. Knudsen spoke about was the opportunity for those patients to get a third booster shot to shore up their protections against COVID-19.
Those patients will likely include those receiving active or recent chemotherapy, solid organ or stem cell transplant patients, primary immunodeficiency, advanced HIV infection, active treatment with high-dose steroids, TNF blockers, or really any immunosuppressive biologics such as the rheumatologic medication, and then chronic conditions like post-splenectomy or chronic renal disease. And so all of those patients are going to be eligible for a third booster dose as long as they're at least a month out from their last vaccine dose. So I think that is a very significant development, and I think it's medically appropriate, and I think it will really serve to boost the immune response of some of these patients that they have had an impaired immune response related to their immunosuppression, even though they are fully vaccinated.
Medical modeling on the trajectory of the virus as we move into winter paints a grim picture without better vaccination numbers. Colorado people will move back inside and students back in school will compromise our ability to control contagion. Again, here is pulmonologist Dr. Knudsen.
I was reading a little bit about some of the Colorado State modeling data. This is trying to anticipate what will be some of the trends epidemiologically going forward in terms of numbers of COVID and how will things be once we get into the winter. Really, everything about how Colorado does with respect to COVID as we get into the winter season has to do with how we're doing on transmission control and how we're doing on vaccination goals. And some of the modeling data suggests that if we continue to return to work and kids return to school and we in that way reduce our control of transmission and we don't improve our vaccination goals, the hospitalization into the December timeframe could resemble last year's. We kind of need to change our practices going forward, or we can really very realistically expect that we may see more of the same compared to last year. One of the things that we have been working on is to shore up provider-to-patient discussion with respect to people's questions and concerns. I think it's most important that people considering vaccination get their information from their healthcare provider rather than other sources. And we're working hard to make sure those conversations occur in our primary care clinics.
For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
That does it for Wednesday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.